relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Welcome, dear friends. You're listening to America First One-on-One with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the president and currently still member of the Defense Department's National Security Education Board. It is hard sometimes to see the wood for the trees. Domestic politics seems to take center stage, especially when it costs more than $100 to fill your car with a tank of gas. And when you see the highest inflation rates for 41 years... But geopolitics doesn't stop for domestic politics, and that's why we must keep our eye on the ball. When I was in the White House, I went in there to do counterterrorism work, but very rapidly, once you get the clearances, you read the presidential threat briefings, you realize the only strategic level threat we face externally is Red China. So we're going to dive in with the person I respect the most on that issue. He is the author of numerous works you have to check out, the most recent being The Great U.S.-China Tech War. He is, of course, Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, welcome back to America First.
Thank you so much, Dr. G.
Gordon, let's start. Can I start with a kind of very prosaic kind of layman's question? We'll get into all the, you know, very technical and deep national security issues, but you know, we are in the summer of 2022. Did you expect for a nanosecond that we'd be where we are today in terms of China and America after the last 2 years? It seems as if, just one issue, it seems as if culpability for COVID is not an issue anymore.
Yes, this is astounding because, you know, Seb, we don't know 100% where SARS-CoV-2 came from. 99% it came from a lab, but that's not 100%. But there is something that we know 100%, and that is that Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, made decisions to deliberately spread this disease beyond China's borders. Now, for at least 5 weeks and maybe longer, they lied about contagiousness. They knew that this was highly transmissible human to human, but they told the world it was not. And then they pressured other countries to not protect themselves while they were locking down their own country. You put those two things together, it shows that they definitely wanted this disease beyond China. So obviously, we're talking more than, what, 1 million, 10,000, 12,000 Americans have been killed by this disease, according to Johns Hopkins. People dispute the number, but whatever it is, beyond the number one, or beyond zero, clearly we need to talk about where this disease came from and China's culpability for it. And President Biden won't do that. Despite all the conversations he's had with Xi Jinping, he has not raised the issue.
Let's just remind everybody how it all began with the change of regime. We took China seriously. President Trump took China seriously. Then an election occurred. Let's just say an election occurred. If you want to know what really happened, watch 2000 Mules at salemnow.com. And then we have the first China-U.S. summit in Anchorage, where our chief diplomat is lectured to thusly.
So let me say here that in front of the Chinese side, the United States does not have the qualification to say that it wants to speak to China from a position of strength.
And what happens? Do the American diplomats storm out? Does Blinken say, you will not talk to me using BLM Democrat Party talking points? No, he sits there like a scolded child. You have a piece that we're going to discuss. China's economy is collapsing. Here's why you should worry. But first, give us the update from the Anchorage summit to today. Have things improved with regards to U.S.-Sino relations? Are they static? Have they gotten worse? Give us an update, Gordon.
They've gotten much worse, Seb, and the reason is that the Chinese have become much more aggressive. From Anchorage, which was March of last year, we have gotten a series of propaganda blasts from Beijing around the fall of Afghanistan in August, where they're very clear and they're very open about it. And over the last couple weeks, we have heard the Chinese say things, and we've heard the we've seen the Chinese do things, which showed utter disrespect for the United States. So we're at a point where deterrence has broken down, and this is exceedingly dangerous, perhaps the most dangerous times in our lives. And, you know, people will look back at the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962 or the Checkpoint Charlie crisis of 1961 and say those look more dangerous. And yes, they did. But we also know now from the archives that both Kennedy and Khrushchev knew that they would never start a nuclear exchange. We don't know what Xi Jinping thinks about using his most destructive weapons. This, I think, is more dangerous than 61 and 62.
This is a crucial point because we have the archives declassified on our side. Thanks to the Matrokin archive, we have SCADs, huge amounts of KGB classified materials that were smuggled out of the Soviet Union during the last few days of its collapse. So we know that whilst there was much bluster, Khrushchev banging his shoe on the table at the UN saying, "We will bury you," both sides really did hold to the mutually assured destruction balance. They knew if the birds flew from one end, then they would fly from the other end, and that's what kept that bipolar system stable. But we do not know. We do not know what is in the minds of the Chinese PLA, People's Liberation Army, or Xi Jinping, who's made himself really emperor for life of the biggest communist nation in the world. How do we read? Is it, again, is it bluster? Is it hyperbole? When in the last few days we have the organs of the state use the phrase or mention that China will now be engaging, Gordon, in non-military operations, which is exactly the phrase used by Putin for his invasion of Ukraine. Is that just empty rhetoric, or could that presage a move on Taiwan?
What I'm concerned about is, especially since July of last year, China's been making threats to use its nukes against first Tokyo and then Canberra. And now they have been going after us, of course. On March 10th, the Chinese military promised the quote-unquote worst consequences for countries that came to Taiwan's support. And periodically throughout this century, Chinese generals and political leaders have been making unprovoked threats against America to kill us in the hundreds of millions. So these threats have been made. We have not countered them. And I think that creates in the minds of Chinese leaders that they might use them. You know, this could very well still be Chinese bluster, but I actually think that as time progresses and as they see the disarray in the Biden administration, that they actually think that they could use their nukes against Taiwan or against one of our friends or allies, and that we would not retaliate. So I believe that would be a misperception on their part, but I think that they actually think that way.
Can you give us a comparative analysis? Because this has been a communist dictatorship since the nationalists were defeated in 48, 49. What is the similarity or the difference between, you know, hardcore Maoist regimes back in the 60s and today with the recent changes in the Constitution? Is this still the same beast, or is this China qualitatively different, and are the powers that Xi has given himself qualitatively different?
China is different now than it was in the 1950s, but Xi Jinping reveres Mao Zedong. And over the course of his rule now of 10 years, we have seen him take China back to Maoism. He isn't there all the way yet because he doesn't have full power, but obviously that's what he wants to do. And we see this whether we're talking about the economy going back to state control. We can see this in terms of propaganda. We can see this in terms of China's control of people. So they're moving very fast to totalitarianism. So it's no longer an authoritarian government. It's more semi-totalitarian, on the way back to full Maoist control. So we're seeing China move in a very, very dangerous direction. You know, part of it is communism, but also it's also the Chinese imperial era, where from time to time, Chinese emperors closed off China from the rest of the world. And Mao did that, and Xi Jinping is doing that now. So it is, as I said, yeah, it's been different, but it's going back to something that Mao Zedong would be familiar with.
Read this man's latest work, The Great U.S.-China Tech War. You've got to follow him on Twitter, Gordon G. Chang. That's Gordon G. Chang. You're listening to America First, one-on-one with me, Sebastian Gorka. If you enjoy our long form as much as we love making it and providing it for you, make sure you subscribe. Never miss an episode. Go to your favorite platform. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. It's absolutely free. Write a review and share the links, and never, ever miss an episode. If you haven't done so already, register today for our trip to Israel later this year. 10 days in the Holy Land with me and my Salem colleague, the director of 2,000 Mules. Yes, Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife will be joining us for the trip of a lifetime to walk literally where our Lord and Savior Jesus walked the earth. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh D'Souza. Israel has dropped all of its COVID restrictions. You can join me. I'm not vaccinated and I'm going. Reserve your places today by calling 855-565-5519 or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That number again, 855-565-5519, or just go to standwithisraeltour.com, standwithisraeltour.com. Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount, or just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code G-O-R-K-A. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off MyPillow.com. Do it today. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. Gordon, another topic that doesn't get requisite attention in the last 3 months is, of course, the war in Europe. We thought we would never witness war on the streets of a European city again. It is occurring. Russia does what Russia has been doing since 1917, and that's invading independent states. How does, because I've heard two different interpretations of how Putin's latest in military action affects Beijing. One is it would be used as cover. It would be used to distract from a move against Taiwan. And second, I'm hearing that the international reaction to Russia, the arming of Ukraine, has given strategic pause to Xi Jinping. Can we tell which of those is more accurate? Are they happy that Putin did what he did, or are they annoyed at how sloppy he's been in the execution of the invasion?
I think that Beijing looks at the Ukraine and they take away a number of lessons, some which encourage them to be more aggressive, some of them inhibit them. But I think that on balance, they've been emboldened. And the reason is that, first of all, and this is the most important lesson, there was the greatest breakdown in deterrence since the start of the Second World War. Although the United States, the 27 nations of the European Union, and Great Britain had an economy 25.1 times bigger than Russia's in 2021, we failed to stop that invasion.
Yeah.
So you have a far weaker party basically defy the world. And they got away with it so far. And I think China looks at that and says that we would similarly fail to deter China, that we don't have the willingness to use our power. The other thing is that although there have been sanctions on Russia, those sanctions have not been as effective as people had hoped. Russia's ruble is doing okay. They're selling a lot of oil, by the way, to China. And so I think that the Chinese believe that, look, the West can't enforce sanctions. And by the way, the Chinese are so arrogant these days, they think that we wouldn't impose sanctions on them in the first place, or that they would be able to skate by them. So I think that the only thing that they look at it, Putin, and are irritated is that Putin may have delayed their plans for attacking a neighbor, which could be Taiwan, could be India, because there's more and more chatter about increased Chinese infiltration into India these days. Or it could be Japan, or it could be the Philippines. It could be anywhere along its southern and eastern peripheries.
Explain to us the Sino-Russo relationship, because as you said, right now, you know, Russia is, I mean, shockingly, the ruble is relatively robust in many cases because of countries like China that are buying Russian gas and oil. But there's no love lost. I mean, these are alliances of a very plastic and temporary nature, because there is no nation that China does not look down upon, at least from the lofty, you know, heights of the Politburo. So Russia is also an adversary for China, but not right now, correct?
Correct. If you were to look long term, and by that I mean decades and decades, we probably wouldn't have to worry about a Chinese and Russian alliance or entente. We shouldn't focus on the long term. We should focus on the here and now. And even before the invasion of Ukraine, the Chinese were fully supporting the Russians because, you know, short term, Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping see the world in the same terms. They calculate their interests pretty much the same way. They identify the same adversary, which is us. And they believe that they can support each other in their various aims. We have to just assume that that's an effective alliance. As a matter of fact, the 5,000-word statement that China and Russia issued on February 4th, talking about their no-limits partnership, about how no area is off limits to cooperation, I think that that's a fairly accurate statement of their current state of affairs. So yeah, they are partners, and we've got to deal with them as a united. They are a united front against us.
Having spent almost a decade teaching the U.S. military strategic issues and counterterrorism, I am woefully aware of how poor our knowledge of China is inside the U.S. military. Let me ask you the obverse. How well does China understand us, at least inside the halls of policymaking and inside the PLA, Gordon?
That's a great question. China has thoroughly infiltrated the United States, so they have enormous amounts of information about America. As a matter of fact, they, in some places, they understand us better than we do, because they've collected all this information, and with their artificial intelligence systems, they're able to interpret and digest it. They suffer, though, from the problem of all communists, and also they suffer from the Chinese mentality that they are entitled to rule what they call Tianxia, or all under heaven. In other words, they have a right to rule the world. They have the right to rule the solar system. So in that sense, they view us as in terminal decline. I don't think that they understand the inherent strength of democracies, that although at times right now we look weak, we actually are resilient, much more resilient than communist states, including theirs. So in that sense, they do not understand us.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible, because that lack of understanding, that's very easily the precursors for war. We're talking to Gordon Chang. Follow him at Gordon G. Chang on Twitter. It's Pride Month here at America First across the nation. We are celebrating Pride Month as well. We are totally LGBT here, utterly 100%, meaning we have produce, we have products that celebrate Let's Get Biden to Quit. It is the hottest selling t-shirt on our store and mug as well. Treat yourself, treat your friends, or just drive a liberal relative crazy. Let's Get Biden to Quit. The stars and stripes, the rainbow colors, LGBTQ. You're LGBTQ as well, aren't you? Of course you are. Go to sebgorkastore.com, order yours today. Made in America. That's SEB. G-O-R-K-A, store.com, sebgorkastore.com. Okay, Eric, play the cut from Joe Biden.
China is going to eat our lunch? Come on, man. They can't even figure out how to deal with the fact that they have this great division between the China Sea and the mountains in the east, I mean, in the west. They can't figure out how they're going to deal with the corruption that exists within the system. I mean, not bad folks, but guess what? They're not they're competition for us.
That was Vice President Biden telling us that China's not a problem. No joke. Come on, man. Not a competitor. I think he thinks differently today. Gordon, when I was one of the greatest achievements, I think, of the Trump years, is that when we came into office, there was amongst, apart from voices in the wilderness like yourself, the main consensus, the conventional wisdom in the C-suites, at the boards across corporations in Palo Alto, was that China's not a problem, China's not a threat, exactly what Biden just said. Thanks to the president, thanks to great people inside the National Security Council like Brigadier Spaulding and others, we turned it around. We turned around the understanding, and I think a lot of people in the space of just a couple of years came to realize that China is the preeminent strategic threat. I learned that myself. Do you share that assessment with me? And if you do, how much more work is there to do in terms of educating the American people?
I certainly share that assessment with you. And, I think the American people get it, but the people who don't get it are those you mentioned, Wall Street, Walmart, and also the political class in Washington. There are a lot of folks there who see China as an opportunity. Biden said essentially the same thing May 2019. They're not competition, folks. And today, the administration, his administration, will say, they're a competition, but they're not an adversary and they're not an enemy.
Yeah.
The problem is that in May 2019, People's Daily, which is the most authoritative publication in China, when People's Daily speak, it's China speaking. They declared a quote-unquote people's war on America. That's all we need to know. They view us as an enemy. They continued that propaganda into recent times. It's just unrelenting. It's daily. And we have to understand that we've got an enemy.
Is it fair to say that the least understood aspect of this inimical relationship, and enemy is the right word because they do want to enslave or destroy us, is the political aspect and the cultural inveigling into American culture? Is that perhaps the area we have to do most of our education?
Well, it's really all of the above, because we've got Confucius Institutes on our college and university campuses. We've got Confucius classrooms, hundreds of them, in our secondary schools. We have the Chinese Ministry of State Security and diplomatic officials surveilling Chinese students on our campuses. Boardrooms, we talked about. The foreign policy elites sort of have this outdated notion that it's in our interest to support the Communist Party. So this is the Communist Party has used every point of contact to infiltrate the United States. Remember, Eric Swalwell, they first contacted him, not when he was on the House Intelligence Committee, where, of course, he'd be of value to Beijing. They first contacted him when he was a council member in the Dublin City, California. If they contacted him there at that low level, imagine how many Eric Swalwells there are throughout the country, because I don't think he was the only one. There are hundreds, perhaps thousands of them.
No, and that really, doesn't that speak to such a long-term strategy that you're going to deploy a honeypot trap, a female intelligence officer against somebody in a local council in California on the off chance that he may get involved in national politics? That speaks to a huge long-term investment in penetrating American society.
Absolutely. The crime here is not being contacted by the Ministry of State Security, because if that were the case, we wouldn't have any members of Congress serving. We wouldn't have Senate. There'd be nobody in the administration. The problem here is the reaction of Eric Swalwell and others to the allegations. You know, I like to hear the congressman from California actually talk about this, which he has not done. But the point is, it's not a question of Swalwell. It's just a question of how China has gone after the U.S. across the board and how we're being overwhelmed. Our law enforcement's overwhelmed. Our governors are overwhelmed. Our academic institutions are overwhelmed. All of us have been overwhelmed by China's attempts to subvert us.
The book is The Great U.S.-China Tech War, and his Twitter account is Gordon Chi Chang. Follow him today to understand the strategic threat that is posed by the largest communist nation in the world. That's Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, let me move the discussion to your latest piece that I mentioned at the very beginning. It's titled China's Economy is Collapsing. Here's Why You Should Worry. You can read it on my feed. It's with the Daily Caller, but you can read it on my Twitter, Facebook feeds, Truth Social. Will you? I want everybody to read it, Gordon, but give us a précis of why everyone should be worried.
Well, the Chinese economy right now is contracting. The Communist Party, for decades, its primary basis of legitimacy was the continual delivery of prosperity. Now they can't promise prosperity because it's obvious what's occurring in China with not only the bank runs, but also the property market plunging, all the rest of it. So the only remaining basis of legitimacy for the Communist Party is nationalism. And that will force Xi Jinping and others to engage in military misadventure abroad, whether it's Taiwan or other places. This is a China that can take us by surprise because it sees, I believe, a closing window of opportunity to accomplish what they believe are historic goals. They are malicious. They are engaging in this unrestricted warfare against us. And we're just not prepared because we've got a president, for instance, who thinks that they're not even an adversary.
Why is it so fragile? Give us a breakdown of why the economy in China is so fragile right now after 2 years of COVID.
They've got, first of all, the lockdowns, which have created a contracting economy. But that's not the fundamental problem. The most fundamental problem is that Xi Jinping, as we talked about before, is taking the Chinese economy back to a state-dominated model of a la Mao Zedong, which obviously didn't work. And then there's too much debt. We don't know exactly how much debt China has, but if you were to say an amount equal to, say, 350% of gross domestic product, you'd probably be in the neighborhood, maybe a bit more. And the reason why this is a problem is because that is distorting the economy. And so you have what is the critical property sector, about 30% of gross domestic product. It's not just that property prices are falling. What's really the problem is that there are no property sales. Property sales have declined like 34.5% in the first 5 months of this year compared to the previous 5 months in 2021. It means that property, which is considered to be a store of value for the Chinese people, is now becoming worthless in a sense because they can't dump it. And that means you've got a lot of people right now who are looking at an economy that is failing. It is just collapsing. And that is causing the Communist Party, as I said, I think, to act in much more belligerent ways. And that's why it's a concern to us.
What is the state of demographics inside China? Are they starting to recover from the one-child policy, or do they still have that significant imbalance of men to women in their population?
Well, they still have the imbalance in men to women, maybe 35 million more men than women.
Wow.
The real problem for them, though, is that they have not recovered from the one-child policy. They have a three-child policy right now, but people are not procreating. If you look at the numbers, China will lose about half its population in 45 years. This is just a bit of arithmetic, taking their total fertility rate and multiplying it out. By the end of this century, they will be a country of maybe 500 million, maybe a little bit more. In other words, they'll be about the same number of people as the United States.
But that is a massive, massive shrinkage.
Yes. I mean, even official projections show a collapse. And the point here, Seb, is that no country has ever been on facing such a drop in demography in the absence of war or disease. And we don't know how China will react to it, how the Chinese people will react to it, because this is completely unprecedented. But Chinese leaders know this, and that means that they know that they get what they want by intimidating others. Now, if you're 1.41 billion people, which is what they claimed after their last census, yeah, you can intimidate others because you're the world's most populous state. But if you got about the same number of people as the U.S. and you have just gone through this massive collapse, you're not going to be intimidating people, which means that Xi Jinping realizes he's got to move fast or he won't be able to move at all.
Well, Gordon, in you know, human history is, what is it? Was it Mark Twain said, it doesn't repeat itself, but it definitely rhymes or echoes. When massive nations have such crises, there's usually only two possible scenarios. There is civil unrest, revolution, civil war, what have you, or there's what Hitler and other dictators do, which is, you know, point at some external threat and then say, okay, let's go to war in the hope of rallying the people around the flag with some false new mission. Those are the two realistic options, are they not?
Yes. I mean, the world was very fortunate that the Soviet Union imploded.
Yes.
With very little loss of life. China, we're not going to be so fortunate with China in all probability, because what we are seeing is a long, slow failure of the Chinese state. That gives Xi Jinping the opportunity to do what you just said. And so, therefore, we've got to be concerned that he will lash out at us, at our friends, our allies, partners, countries in the region, and therefore we could have war at both ends of the Eurasian landmass.
Follow this man Twitter, Gordon G. Chang. The book is The Great U.S.-China Tech War. I mentioned it earlier in the podcast. I didn't give you all the information. The movie is 2,000 Mules. It is breaking all records, the most popular documentary of its kind in more than a decade, more than a million downloads in the first 6 days, more than 100,000 DVDs mailed out. It is proof positive of what you knew but were told didn't happen with regards to the theft of the last election, more than 2 petabytes worth of data, more than 4 million minutes of footage. You've got to watch the latest movie from Dinesh D'Souza. I have a stake in this film. It's so important. It is produced by the Salem Media Group. Watch it today. Download it. I just ordered 10 DVDs. Get them for your friends. Go to salemnow.com. The movie is 2,000 Mules. That's 2,000 Mules at salemnow.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We are continuing our discussion with Gordon G. Chang in a moment. Gordon, I want everybody to follow you on Twitter for a couple of reasons, not just because of the source of information that you provide that is truly unavailable elsewhere, but because of the spirit of your fight as it comes across every single day. I'm looking at the one of your tweets here right now. We absolutely will not allow China's regime to take our country from us. Every single day, interspersed with the factual analyses, the articles, you have these declarations of freedom, of America, of China's threat to our freedom. Will you explain, and just very briefly, why this for you is not a field of interest you studied in college and as a postgrad, but for you, this is your life's mission, Gordon?
You know, I don't have an answer to that question, Seb. I think you stumped me.
I think you do. I think you do. You've been very honest in prior discussions here that about what America represents to you. So this is more an expert in a field. For you, this is about who you are and what America is, surely.
Yeah. Lydia and I lived in Shanghai from August 1996 to May 2001. So we've actually lived in a communist state. And when we arrived, I can remember Lydia getting on the phone and saying, "Mom, China's not communist anymore." and when we arrived, it was a very optimistic time. I agreed with her. But the reason that I feel this way today is because as we lived there, as we worked there, traveled around the country, talked to people. We saw a very different China. And that is a view which was, you know, just worlds apart from the prevailing view when we left. So to me, it's personal because I've seen it. And since then, of course, there have been so many people who have left China with horrific stories. And this is in the context of what we are learning today about what's occurring in China. So I hate to say it, but it is actually necessary for us to defend freedom, to talk about it, because we are under unrelenting attack. And you can see that if you lived in China and you can compare with what life is there with what is happening here today now.
30 seconds left. Give us some reassurance that what we did in the first few years of the Trump administration, reversing the direction with regards to Beijing, can be done again. Yes or no, Gordon?
Yes, it can be done again, and it will be done again because the American people are going to demand it, and also because China, being China, and the Communist Party, being the Communist Party, will overstep. So we are going to be forced to understand the maliciousness of the Chinese regime, and we will be forced once again to defend ourselves from a foreign enemy.
We can do it, and we will do it. That is the American way, and that's why I'm honored to call this man a friend. Follow him, Gordon G. Chang, on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to America First One-on-One. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head in a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people...
is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Hi, my name is Johnny, and I use he, him pronouns.
Hi, and I'm Franchi, and I use she, her pronouns.
And we're here to talk about pronouns.
What is a pronoun? A pronoun is how we identify ourselves apart from our name, and it's also how people refer to us in conversations.
Using the right pronouns is a really simple way to affirm someone's identity. It is a signal of acceptance and respect.
That is a video under the term NAV speaks, the abbreviation for the Navy. And it's not some woke military that isn't the Navy of Landlocked Liechtenstein or Vanuatu. It's the U.S. Navy. Welcome, dear friends. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We warned you of this over a year ago when we showed you a video from the CNO, the Chief of Naval Operations, which he made in Navy combats, in his digital combat uniform, that was broadcast to the whole fleet, everyone in the Navy, for 12, 13, 14 minutes long, about battling racism in the U.S. Navy, which, by the way, is illegal. Why you would have to battle racism in a system that is utterly hierarchical and has banned it already by statute. Well, it doesn't matter, because Admiral Mike Gilday wasn't talking about anything real. He was virtue signaling. He was on bended knee in front of an ideological idol, the idol of wokeism. I'm not satisfied with that word, woke, because it's a good thing to be awake in common usage. And second, it doesn't really communicate the invidious nature of what we are talking about. The, as my wife calls, the next-gen Marxism that this really is, the thought police aspect of it. For example, in Fairfax County, they just passed a new regulation in the public schools that a child as young as six can be suspended from school if they use the wrong pronoun. That video, which is about using the right pronoun, if you do it incorrectly as a child, you can be kicked out of school. Now, what is the right pronoun? It's not a question of politics. It's not a question of ideology. It's a question of grammar and biology. There are only two genders, only two sexes, and they are the same thing. They're not different. They're not social constructs. They are facts of life. Biology determines gender. Biology determines sex. You can have masculine, tomboyish women, but they're still women. You can have feminine men who aren't tough guys, but if they've got an XY chromosomal makeup, they're male from the point of conception until the moment they die. And nothing can change that. No hormone therapy, no chemical castration with Lupron, no surgery that mutilates the body of an otherwise completely healthy human being or even child, because yes, they're doing it to children now. None of it changes your gender or your sex. As a result, you have one of two options, he or she. And to be grammatically correct, the male is referred to as he, and the female is referred to as she. So as the Air Force posts tweets of their recruits running, doing PT under a rainbow flag, yes, a rainbow flag with no stars and stripes visible, which itself should tell you something. We have the Navy giving out lectures on respecting somebody whose pronoun is zer, is something made up, because there are an infinite number of genders, don't you know? The job of the military, whichever service it is to prepare for battle. And should that battle be unavoidable, to crush our enemies. Period. That's it. End of story. Our enemies think of war like that. Normal nations that aren't controlled by an elite that hates their own nation and their own heritage know that. The nations we may need to go to war with imminently, or in 5 years or 50 years' time, understand that the nature of war is immutable, that the history of mankind is based upon warfare, as Thucydides told us more than 2,000 years ago. Nations go to war, and have done, for the same three reasons since they existed. Fear, honor, and national interest. Not gender pronouns. So whether you're the People's Liberation Army in Beijing, looking at the U.S. Navy's latest video, or whether you're the IRGC in Iran, or the KGB's new Organization for Foreign Intelligence, the SVR, that is analyzing America's response to the invasion of Ukraine, when you see the Air Force posting tweets of recruits running under a rainbow flag. Not the American flag, a rainbow flag. One message is sent. America is weak. America is soft. And if we take on America, should we invade Taiwan? Should we invade the Baltic states next or execute some mass casualty attack on U.S. soil or develop nuclear weapons with which to threaten America's ally in the Middle East? America will be unprepared. America's fighting forces will have spent time on being re-educated, on white fragility, on white rage, instead of learning just how effective is the next-gen fighter bomber the Chinese have developed. What is the new generational warfare model that the Russian General Staff has developed? And what are the latest proxy forces associated with the IRGC and Hezbollah that are being deployed around the world? America doesn't know, because America hasn't had time to look at those things, because we're too busy hating ourselves and worshipping a rainbow flag. A rainbow flag which connotes fantasy, not God's covenant to us to never wipe out life on Earth again, which was the original promise made to Noah and his family with that aerial phenomena. No, we're worshipping an unreality. Something called transgenderism. Multiple genders. A fantasy, a la-la land. An unreality that makes us weak. It's time to stop it, my friends. You can do that. Speak the truth every single day. I'm Sebastian Gorka, and we are only getting started. Call us, 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Subscribe to the podcast. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Write a review. Share the links. Guarantee that you never miss a beat. This is the Salem Radio Network.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.